الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله لا يخفى عليه شيء and surely inna means surely surely Allah there is nothing yakhfa there is nothing hidden from him alayhi shay'un nothing at all fil ardi neither in the earth wala fis sama and nor in the skies there's nothing hidden from him either in the earth or in the skies. This is one of the more important ayahs of the Quran. All ayahs of the Quran are important, but this is one of the more. It actually shows, it is an example of this huge power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah of the Quran actually proves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is micromanaging all our affairs. He knows exactly what we say. He knows exactly what we do. He knows exactly what we think. And He knows exactly what our emotions, are inside of us. So that is why in a hadith it comes, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows even our inner emotions. Allah knows our inner emotions. And that is why Allah judges us according to our intentions. So people cannot find what our real intentions are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our intentions. That is why our reward for the good deeds that we do will only be rewarded through our intentions. And one of the most famous ahadith present in most of the books of ahadith is innamal amalu binniyat, that actions are according to the intentions. So there are many ayahs about this intention. And why are these there? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what is going on inside of our heart. So we will not be judged according to our actions. That a person who has made this masjid, now he has to go into Jannah. No, it's not like this. The person who has made this masjid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to go into Jannah. So that is why actions are important. And in that, regarding that, the Prophet ﷺ has said that there are seven people who will get the shade of the throne on the Day of Judgment when there will be no shade. So the Day of Judgment is going to be a very heavy day. It is going to be a very difficult day. In a hadith it comes, there will not be a single prophet who will not be scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. So there will be no shade on that day except for seven types of people. These will be the seven special guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among them there are two people. One is the one who gives sadaqah in such a secret way that when he gives the sadaqah with his right hand, even the left hand does not know. This is how secretly he does this sadaqah, without telling anyone, without showing it off to people. And one of the people who will get that shade is the person who remembers Allah secretly. He's alone. There is nobody else looking at him. But during this remembrance, he is so attached to Allah that tears come out of his eyes. That person will also get the shade of the throne when there will be no shade. Now, if nobody knows his action and nobody knows that he's giving sadaqah, how he's rewarded for his deed? He's rewarded because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his inner emotions, his inner intentions. So that is why it is very important to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is managing us very, very closely. He's managing the inside of us. So there's a famous story written about Shaykh Bayazid Bastami rahimahullah in the books. The Shaykh was once reading Surah Taha, and he was reading that Surah, and somebody passed by. So he looked at that person and then he continued reading the surah. And he finished the surah. At the night when he went to sleep, he saw in his dreams that the book of the deed was given to him through some angel. And he saw that book of deed and he was very happy to see that Surah Taha was present in that book of deed. So he was very happy that I read this surah in the morning, and in the evening I've been shown that book of deed which has this surah present. So he watched very closely what is written in that book of deed. So as he was reading that surah, a few ayahs were missing. So he questioned the angel that I read the whole surah and a few ayahs are missing. And the angel answered that these are the few ayahs when that man was passing by. And inside of your heart, this small feeling came that maybe that man is listening to my recitation, and maybe he is liking me because of my recitation. This feeling came inside of your heart, and these ayahs were stricken off from the books of deed. So that means Allah knows the inner recesses of your heart, the inner intention of your heart. That is why in a hadith, the Prophet has said that remembrance that a person does, which nobody knows, because he does it inside of his heart. He doesn't even do it with his lips, with his tongue. It is a remembrance of Allah that he does only in his heart. That remembrance is 70 times more rewarded than the remembrance that he does with his tongue that people can hear. So that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what is going on inside of our heart. And if this heart is pure and there is an action of the heart present, then these actions that we do outwardly will have more reward. And if the heart's intention is not present, then the actions that we do outwardly will not be rewarded as much. That is why our elders used to do all their actions very secretly. Sometimes it is better to do all your actions very secretly. So most of the actions, most of the good deeds should be done secretly, so that the reward is protected, right? If it is not done secretly, and if you keep on telling people, you know, I'm just used to performing Hajj every year. So if you say this, that I'm used to performing Hajj every year, then the reward for Hajj is gone. Sometimes people don't say it this clearly, that I perform Hajj every year. They say it in a roundabout way. You know, the fifth time I performed Hajj, it was a very good experience. Now when you say that the fifth time I performed Hajj, you're actually telling him that, you know, I have done Hajj 5 times. So now when you say this, Allah knows this. Allah knows what your intentions are. So you have to be very clear that actions are rewarded only and only according to the intentions. So the scholars of this ummah who knew all of these ahadith, they were very, very careful about their actions. In fact, they used to hide their actions as much as they can. Whenever they would feel that my intention for doing this good deed is not Allah, they would stop doing that good deed. So there was a sheikh who heard that the king of the Muslims drinks alcohol, and he has ordered about 100 pots of alcohol, and those pots are right outside his palace. So the sheikh got very upset. How dare he? The king of the Muslims, the leader of the Muslims, and he's going to drink alcohol this openly? I'm going to break all these pots. So he stood up. Now all his students told him, you know, you cannot fight the king. He's going to get you arrested, he's going to get you killed, this and that. But he took a stick within his hand, and he traveled to the palace, and he saw these pots outside of the palace, filled with alcohol. So he started breaking them one by one. 1, 2, 3, 4. And he kept on breaking these pots, and there were 100 of them. And he broke 99, and then he stopped, and he threw the stick away. Now the student says, "Sheikh, what is left? There's only one left. Just go ahead and break this as well." He's like, "No, I'm not going to break this." I said, "Why? Why will you not break this one?" He said, till I was breaking all these 99s, my intention was purely for Allah. And when I started breaking that 100th one, this feeling came inside of my heart that people will praise me so much. That look at the Shaykh, he's so not fearful of the king that he broke 100 times. So I don't want to do it for the praise of the people. So that is why I'm not going to break this last one. So this is how careful our scholars were in terms of their action. Why? Because if there is no intention present, then there is no reward for Islam. There's nothing for us. That is why one of the biggest sheikh of the subcontinent in the recent times, or in the last two centuries, we can say, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahimahullah says that if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sitting in that room which has seven rooms over it, this is how secretly you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is still going to give you a lot of praise and a lot of love among people. This is how it is, because He knows what is inside of your heart. So don't think that if somebody does something secretly, he will not be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our mashayikh were very, very careful. And there are many ahadith regarding this intention. In a hadith it comes that the first person to enter into the fire on the Day of Judgment, the first person who will enter the fire is going to be a mujahid. He will be dragged into the fire. And he was not only a mujahid, he was a shaheed. He was a martyr. He gave his life for Islam. And he will say to Allah, "Oh Allah, I gave my life for Islam." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer that, "No. You gave your life because you wanted to be praised by people. That look how brave he was." So people said that. The reason why you gave your life, you got that. So on this day, I have nothing for you because your intention was not right. And the second one among those people is going to be a scholar of Islam who spent all of his life teaching and learning Islam. And he will be thrown into the hellfire. And he will scream, "Oh Allah, my whole life was spent teaching the Quran and Hadith. And learning the deen of Islam and teaching the deen of Islam. And now you are throwing me in the hellfire." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Oh my servant, the only reason why you did this, why you will teach people Islam, why you taught people Islam, or why you learned Islam, was so that people will praise you. So people praised you in the world. On this day I have nothing for you." And the third person is a person who was very charitable. Right? He was a philanthropist, spending a lot of money in the path of Allah. He will also stream Allah. "You're throwing me in the fire, somebody who spent all his life, who's kept on spending in the path of Allah." And Allah will answer him that, "No, you were spending so that people praise you. People praised you in the world. So they really have nothing for you." So this intention is very, very important. Inna Allah la yakhfa alayhi shayyun. There's nothing hidden through Allah. There's nothing hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yakhfa alayhi shay'un fil earth. Nothing hidden on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth, or nothing hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the skies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very powerful entity. So the question now arises that in our nature it is present that we like that people praise us. A lot of psychologists, they will say that among the natural inborn traits of a human is this trait that he likes attention and he likes being praised. And according to Islam, this is a disease of the heart. That you do actions so that people praise you. The Because you have to do action so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises you. So how do you change this disease that is present in your heart? And sometimes you cannot even actually point out at this disease. You are doing these and you feel that, okay, I'm doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, you're actually not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you don't even realize that you're doing this deed not for Allah. So there was a young man, and he came and he met with me once. And he asked me this question, Shaykh, if I have a girlfriend in college, what does Islam say about this? I said, SubhanAllah. What would Islam say about it? I said, it is Islam. Obviously, it is not allowed in Islam. You either marry that girl, or you leave that girl. There is no such concept of a girlfriend in Islam. So the answer he gave me, and just look at his words. He said, Shaykh, you know what? This is what I think. I come to your majalis, and I come to different scholars, and I keep the company of scholars, so I learn the deen. She doesn't get that opportunity. If she is going to stay with me, then she will also learn about Islam, and this is my intention of having her as my girlfriend. I said, SubhanAllah. Now the thing is, actually, he was not trying to fool me. He actually himself did not realize that his intention is not right. These people who pay in charity, and they pay huge amounts to needy and poor people. But at the same time, they also want that their pictures are, you know, taken, and the, you know, and the picture should be in the newspaper and on television and all that. So now there's two different intentions, right? One intention is that you want to be popular. So if you tell these people that, you know, your real intention is not to help the needy people, your real intention is to become popular among people, then they will say, no, my real intention is to help people. So sometimes you do not even understand where your niyat or your intention has gone wrong. That is why Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah says that actually understanding this true intention, or understanding the riya means showing off, this disease of showing off, to understand this is as difficult. To see this disease in your heart is as difficult as looking at that ant which is walking on a dark surface in a night where there is no moon. So this is how difficult it is to point out this flaw in the intention. So sometimes people do not even realize that they have this wrong intention. So how do we get rid of this wrong intention? How do we have a clear vision of what our intention is? And the scholars have answered that people can remove this bad disease of the heart through the company of the mashayikh. When you go in the company of the mashayikh, the scholars, when you spend time with them, then you realize your inner mistakes. That is why Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah, one of the biggest scholars of Islam, he said that I was not able to understand this bad disease of showing off till I went in the company of Abu Hashim. Abu Hashim was another sheikh of the time. He said, I went in his company, that's when I realized that my intentions were not correct. So sometimes you become a big scholar, but still the intentions are not correct. So the only way, or one of the biggest, one of the strongest way of getting rid of, one of the strongest way of how to get rid of this disease is to go in the company of pious people. To go in the company of the mashayikh. So our elders would go in the company of the mashayikh, and they would actually do whatever they can to stay in the company of the mashayikh, stay in the company of the scholars. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and it is a beautiful hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-mu'minu Mir'atul mu'min. Mu'min is a mirror of the mu'min. So if you go in the company of a true mu'min, then you will see yourself as if you're standing in front of the mirror. You will see your inner diseases. So you have to go in the company of the pious people. All of us need good environment. All of us need good company. Otherwise these diseases will never leave us. The Prophet has said, Al-mar'u ala deeni khaleelihi. That a person is on the deen of his friend. The person who spends time with, he's on the deen of that person. Why? Because the person you spend time with, you will be like the person with whom you spend time with. So you should spend time with the mashayikh, the scholars of the Ummah. So إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ. There's nothing hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in the earth or in the skies. How much our scholars used to guard their intention is amazing. So among the scholars, one of the top scholars in the last century, or last two centuries, was Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotvi rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the biggest mashayikh in the last two centuries. And he was a very big scholar. And at that time, it was a time of the British, and there used to be debates between Hindus and the Muslims. Theological debates. And one of those debates would be held at Shah Jahanpur, and Shah Jahanpur was the center of these debates. So now this debate was about to happen, and the Muslims were to decide that who is the topmost scholar who is going to defend Islam. After many, many consultations, everybody came to this conclusion that the biggest scholar of Islam at this moment is Maulana Qasim Nanotvi. So they invited the Sheikh, you should come to Shah Jahanpur and defend Islam in this debate between Muslims and the Hindus. And he said, because this is a work of deen and I will do this. And all of subcontinent, Indian subcontinent, all of it knew about this huge debate that would happen. So many, many people actually traveled from many different cities to view this debate. And the Sheikh also left his own city to travel to Shah Jahanpur. And when he entered Shah Jahanpur, the division or the district, they realized that the station is about two stops away. And two stops later, I have to get down. But then he thought that this is such a popular event, and there will be hundreds and hundreds of people at the train station waiting to welcome me. And they will raise slogans and they will, you know, show their love and all these things to me. And maybe it is going to disrupt my inner intention. So he said that I am not doing this because of all these love that these people will show to me and all these slogans that they will hurl at me. So what should I do? So finally he decided that I am going to just get down just one station before the actual station. So he got off the train. And he booked a room in a small hotel. And he decided that tomorrow is the debate. I'll just reach the debating ground or whatever that place is directly. And in reality, there were hundreds of people waiting for him at the station. And when the train arrived and the Sheikh did not get off the train, some people were shocked that tomorrow is the debate and the Sheikh is not here. And it was, you know, we're talking about 200 years ago. So there was no WhatsApp at that time. The Sheikh, where are you? Right? There was not even phones around that. There was no electricity around that. So everybody was shocked. What are we going to do? But then there were a few people who knew the mizaj of the Sheikh. They said, the Sheikh, it is not like the Sheikh to not come. So it is not possible, unless the Sheikh has passed away, it is not as if he is going to promise us something and he is not going to do this. So the Sheikh is here. But then they also realized that the Sheikh does not like all of this, you know, hundreds of people receiving him at the train station. So they started looking for the Sheikh. And they actually reached that hotel where the Sheikh was staying for that night. And they went up to the Sheikh and said, Sheikh, you're here? Hundreds of people are waiting for you at the station. And the Sheikh answered, this is the only reason why I'm here, because there's hundreds of people at the station. And then the Sheikh said these words. And these words should be written with gold, beautiful words. He said, I've only learned a few books of Islam and people have started to know me. people would not have known me, I would have done my worship of Allah in such a way that not a single species in the world would have known that I am worshipping Allah. This is the beauty of our scholars, to realize that the real thing is intention. The real thing is hiding your good deeds. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing hidden from Allah. So one should not ask for reward from people. The reward is with Allah. So I will stop here. I will finish off here. Subhanallah wa bihamdika. I will do the translation one more time. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna Allah la yakhfa 'alayhi shay'un. And surely there is nothing hidden from Allah. Fil ardi, in the earth, wala fis sama, or in the skies. Ji. Question. That is a very good question. So the question this our friend asked is that sometimes you have a regular habit of reading the Quran or doing a certain worship, right? And you do it secretly, but sometimes there are people who come and they look at you. Now if they are looking at you, should you stop your ma'mool that you have been doing every day? So the answer is no, you should not stop your ma'mool. Because now you are not doing it because of that person. This is something that you have been doing. If that person shows up, you should turn your attention more towards Allah. Now while reading Quran or while doing that ibadat, you should be asking forgiveness from Allah more, that, oh Allah, you know, please do not take my intention out from me, or oh Allah, please reward me for what I am doing and do not dissolve my intention. So you should continue doing this. Some scholars have said that riya or showing off is that you do actions for people. But sometimes when people come and the action that you've already been doing, if you don't do that action, that is also doing it for people. So if people come, then you should not stop your actions that you have been doing regularly. Instead, you should turn your inner attention more towards Allah while doing these actions. Yes? Question. That is also a very good question. That one way of cleansing the heart of these wrong intentions, and there's many other diseases of the heart, not only bad intention, but other things. Anger is a disease of the heart, and then, you know, arrogance is a disease of the heart. Stinginess, not wanting to spend on poor people, is a disease of the heart. Right? So there's many different diseases of the heart. Not lowering your gaze when non-mahrams are around is also a disease of the heart. So there's many diseases of the heart, and the way of solving these diseases, or the way of, you know, curing these diseases, is going in the company of the pious people. And another way of solving this is what the Shaykh, is what our friend says, is to remember Allah. So when you do tasbihah, like istighfar, or durood sharif, or reading the Quran, or doing nawafil, that impacts your heart, and that purifies your intention. The Prophet ﷺ has said, zikrullahi shifa'ul qulub. The remembrance of Allah is a cure for the heart. So when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it also cures the heart. And also a reason for going to the mashayikh is also this, that when you will go to them, they will also tell you that you should try to remember Allah as much as you can. So they will always, when you will go to the mashayikh, the first thing they will do is they will tell you some, you know, some azkar that you should do, so that this heart becomes
clean and pure from bad intentions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our heart, and may Allah give us the tawfiq to go in the company of the pious people, and may Allah give us the tawfiq to remember Him profusely and abundantly. The Akhiru Dawana.